Well, good evening. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Got a couple announcements to make as we get ready to get started here. For tomorrow's senior ministry, the service is canceled for tomorrow. But for the Eastside home group, they are still meeting Friday night. So that is still a go. And in light of the adverse weather, we're taking some most of this stuff offline and some of it online. So we'll go ahead and get started with our tonight's Bible study. Tonight we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Not Ephesians, Philippians. Sorry about that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I'm throwing myself off. It's going to be a long night. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Have you ever done something that you thought was counterintuitive, but it worked? You know, we don't always associate resolving conflict with worshiping the Lord. But then again, God is a miracle worker. His ways are not our ways. I remember when I was attending a trade college in Phoenix, Arizona, back in the late 80s. One of the jobs I had was at Kmart, and I had to unbox boys' clothes and put them on hangers. And another gal did the same thing in the girls' department. And one day we were talking, and she had told me that she had a cure for everything. And the cure that she had was more drugs. The cure to alcoholism was drugs. The cure to sleeping was drugs. The cure to waking was drugs. The cure to pain was drugs. The cure to sickness was drugs. The cure to drugs was more drugs. And I laughed at her because I thought she was just joking, but she wasn't. When she opened up her purse, well, and then I got a little scared from what I saw inside her purse. Drugs is not the cure-all for everything, especially when it comes to relationships with others, when it comes to relationships in conflict, and when it comes to our relationships with God and ourselves. So here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, not Ephesians, Philippians, got it right this time. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul is going to give us the cure for Christians in conflict. The cure for Christians in conflict is to rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice in the Lord. And we're going to take a look at five things tonight. Five questions. And the first question is, who, what, why, when, and how? So the first question is, who are we to rejoice in verse 4? Second question, what are the meanings of rejoicing in verse 4? Third question, why are we to rejoice in verse 4? Fourth question, when are we to rejoice? Verse 4. And final question, number 5, how are we to rejoice? There in verse 4. And you might think, well, verse 4, how in the world can there be so much there? But it's a very important verse for us as believers. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 reads, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So before I continue, let's go ahead and lift up God's word. Heavenly Father, we want to pray that you would bless your word this evening, that we can rejoice in you no matter what is going on in our lives, whether it's conflicts or crises or whatever, Lord, is going on. May we just rejoice in you, O Lord. You are our King, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our God, and we give you all praise and honor and glory, and help us to just rejoice in you no matter what is going on in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first question that we have here is, well, who are we to rejoice in? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So the Bible says it is the Lord. The Lord. Can we rejoice in other people and other things? Yes, of course. But the reasons are far different. Can we and should we be happy and proud for others? Yes. But that doesn't cure a conflicted heart. Can we and should we be happy and proud for other things? But that doesn't resolve a divided relationship. Only God is worthy to be praised. Only God is worthy to be worshiped. Only God is worthy of us to fully rejoice in. You see, our eternal destiny deserves a right response. And that right response should only be given to the one who is worthy of it. And that is the Lord. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Again, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, "With a loud voice saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings.'" Only the Lord is worthy to be praised, and we need to rejoice in him. Second question, what are the meanings of rejoicing? So Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." So what are the meanings of rejoicing? Yes, you got that right. Notice the question is a plural. Meanings with the S. So what does rejoice really mean? Well, there are two definitions that the Oxford Dictionary gives for this rejoice, which is a verb. The two definitions. The first one is the transitive verb definition is to give joy, is to give joy. In other words, we are to give joy to the Lord. And the second definition is an intransitive verb definition, is to feel joy or great delight in. So we are to feel joy and have a great delight in the Lord. So one is an action verb, and the other one is a responsive feeling verb. But both denote a reciprocal reaction to the Lord in light of what he has already done for us on the cross. In fact, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, Isaiah mentions the same thing here. He says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God." And why? "For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." So Isaiah reverberates this both outward response to rejoice in the Lord, to give joy, and to have this inward feeling of rejoicing in the Lord. Well, now we come down to our third question. Moving right along here. The third question that we have is why? Why are we to rejoice? Verse 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." So why are we to rejoice? Well, there are three reasons that I can see to rejoice. The first is because it is the cure for all conflict. It is the cure for all conflict. The second is that it is the fruit of the Spirit. Rejoicing is a fruit of the Spirit. And number three is that it is a command from God's holy scripture. So the first reason we are to rejoice is because it is a cure for all conflict. which is the title of the message, The Cure for All Conflict. So in context, Paul just talked about two women who had conflict between themselves. They had a disagreement separating them. And they did not have the same mindset about ministry. And that is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. So the cure for all conflict is to rejoice in the Lord. You see, these two women were so focused on themselves and their conflict, they forgot what the priority of ministry was, to share the love of Jesus. So that points us to the three things that we need to take care of. Number one is the cure for all conflict is to rejoice in the Lord by first repent and then get our hearts right with the Lord. Repent and then rejoice in the Lord. Repent, get our hearts right with God and our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and then our hearts can start singing. Repent and be reconciled for our disagreements that we have and divisions and strife that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And then we can open up to worship the one who gives forgiveness and restoration. You see, rejoicing is the cure for conflict because you can't do both when you are rejoicing. Listen, you can't curse and bless. You can't love God and love money. You can't be light and dark. You can't be worldly and be heavenly while rejoicing in the Lord all at the same time. It just doesn't work. In fact, James points this out in James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. James writes, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a strict judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the curse of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Now, verse 9, check this out. "With it, we bless God our Father, and with it, we curse man, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth, both proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, my brethren, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water." And Jesus sums up this whole concept of you can't do both at the same time in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Listen to what Jesus says. He said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So the point here is, why are we to rejoice? Because God wants us to have a heart that is in unity with his. And if our heart is not in unity with his, then it is in unity with the world. The second reason why we are to rejoice is because it is a fruit of the Spirit. You will know when you are filled with the Spirit and acting out of love towards one another when you are rejoicing in the Lord. And the fruit of the Spirit verse, Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, 22 to 25, the Bible reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So now, the third reason why we are to rejoice is because it is a command from God's Holy Scripture. Now, why must God's children rejoice during times of hardship, times of trials and tribulations and persecution? Well, Paul was writing this letter from prison, bound in chains to a Roman soldier, yet he knew the reason for his joy was not in getting released, but in the hope of his future. Romans chapter 8, verse 23 to 25, Paul writes, "Not only that, but we also who have the fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what is seen?" Verse 25, "But we hope for what we do not see. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Talking about the return of Jesus, to be with Jesus. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, he sums this up by saying, "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is what gives us hope to carry on, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. The fourth question that I have is, when are we to rejoice? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." So when are we to rejoice in the Lord? Well, check this out. "Always" means literally at all times. "Always" means always. There is not a time when we are to stop rejoicing. There is not an exception given in Scripture to cease. There's no loophole. There is not a moment in which we are to end our rejoicing. It is at all times. Rejoice again and again, and keep on againing. I know againing is not a word, I just made it up. It'll be in Oxford Dictionary next year. Psalms chapter 34, verse 1, the psalmist writes, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." There's no end to it. Our lives need to be a day by day life of living and rejoicing in the Lord. Now, the prefix, R-E, means to do it again or have joy again and again and keep on againing. You see, joy is the theme of Philippians, of this book. And the Apostle Paul is stressing to us today the importance of joy that every believer needs to have in their life. So much so that he repeats variations of this word 11 times. I don't know why I couldn't say the word variations. Variations. He repeats this word joy, variations of this word joy 11 times in Philippians. So one of the best ways to overcome something is by practicing it, right? It's like math. The best way that we learn math is by practicing it, repeating it over and over and over. That's how we memorize our times tables. We do it over and over again. Repetition provides the opportunity to accomplish rejoicing or having joy again and again. Rejoice is used 199 times and joy 158 times in the Bible. And I think it speaks as an emphasis on God's word for us to be joyful. To be joyful. Think about this. How many people could you reach with an attitude that was, "Hi, I'm Pastor Dade, and you need to accept Jesus because I'm mad, and that's just how it is." That's not really showing the love of God to people. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And when we exude the love of God, it is infatuating. It is appealing. And people want that because they don't have it. And when we have joy in our life, when we have joy that is being lived out and being rejoicing in the Lord, people want that, and they see it, and they say, "I have something that is missing in my life, and you have it, and I want to have what you have." And that's the beginning of a conversation that we can have with others and sharing the love of Jesus to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Rejoice always." Again, there's no end. It's just a command. Rejoice always. Now we're coming down to the fifth question that I have about this verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice is how. How are we to rejoice? How are we to rejoice in the Lord? Well, we can rejoice through several different ways. Some of these you are probably familiar with. We can rejoice through actions such as song, worship, praise, good works, our testimony, being a great example, being filled with the Holy Spirit, giving joy to the Lord, and receiving joy from the Lord. And we can also rejoice through such ways as singing and worshiping in our minds and in our hearts, meditating on God's goodness, considering all his ways, and praying in the Spirit. All of this gives us joy when we are trying to rejoice in the Lord. And a lot of times when I'm trying to rejoice in the Lord, I'll listen to praise and worship music because it gets me in that mood, gets me off on the right foot, and it starts heading me down on the right track. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, Peter writes, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now here comes the technical part of this message, and I'm going to encourage you to follow along closely, because I'm going to give you two illustrations that you're going to need to follow along real quick. All right, so for every action, there is a reaction, using cause and effect logic. There are two ways to look at this: the physical cause and effect and the metaphysical cause and effect. So the physical cause and effect logic states that if you hit a cue ball against an eight ball, then the eight ball is going to move because of the kinetic energy being transferred from one object to another. Metaphysical cause and effect logic says that if I say pink elephant, you are going to think of a pink elephant. See, your mind is imagining that by using word suggestion, cause and effect logic. So how does this apply to rejoicing? Well, I'm glad you asked. And I'm going to start with the metaphysical. And when I say metaphysical, I'm not talking about the metaphysical that's referred to in world religions. And I'm not talking or referring to the metaverse or Facebook or cryptocurrency kind of stuff. The metaphysical that I'm referring to in context is speaking about our mind and our thoughts. The metaphysical cause and effect of rejoicing produces a logical response of transferred focus. I remember years ago, one of my daughters was always losing her focus. And my wife and I kept telling her, focus, focus, focus. And one day we had a neighbor come over and have dinner with us, and the neighbor was kind of scattered brain, and my daughter goes, focus, 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 to him. It's interesting how the Lord uses that as we pass that on to our kids. So from the focus is from ourselves is transferred from ourselves and our immediate situations to focusing on the Lord's headship, submitting to his lordship and praising his kingship. See, this determination to rejoice in the Lord, no matter what the circumstances are, is the effect of that changed focus. In other words, we are saying in our minds, I'm going to not focus on what's happening in my world, all these trials and tribulations and crises and conflicts, but I'm going to mentally say, I'm going to focus on the Lord. I'm going to focus on worshiping the Lord. I'm going to focus on rejoicing in God. See, the Spirit of God is the one who made you aware of your need and prompted you to change your focus. Then you determine to make that change and refocus on rejoicing in the Lord. So instead of focusing on your conflicts, you refocus and rejoice in the Lord. Instead of focusing on your problems, you refocus on rejoicing in the Lord. Instead of focusing on the things that are literally out of your control, you refocus on rejoicing in the Lord. So this physical cause and effect of rejoicing produces a logical response and creates what's known as inertia. Inertia. Everyone knows what inertia is, right? Well, inertia means once something is in motion, it tends to stay in motion. Think of like an engine. You know, an engine has pistons, and the pistons turn the crankshaft, and the crankshaft turns something called a flywheel. And it's a big wheel at the end of the engine. And when that wheel starts going, it creates what's called inertia and helps the engine to stay in motion. Once it's in motion, it wants to stay in motion. And then that flywheel in turn turns the transmission, which in turn turns your wheels. And so when your vehicle is in motion, it tends to want to stay in motion. So once you start to rejoice and praise and glorify the Lord, which stems from this decision that we made to refocus in our minds, then it is easier to keep on rejoicing, keep on praising, and keep on glorifying the Lord again and again and again. Even Jesus' mother, Mary, being accused of infidelity, she's remembered for what? For rejoicing in the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 47 says, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." What a great example. If someone was to talk about you when you're dead and gone, years and years and years later, would they say about you that you magnified the Lord, that your spirit rejoiced in God your Savior? What a great testimony to have. In closing, this verse is also a worship song. You know, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I'm not going to continue the song. I won't make your ears hurt. But I don't think anybody can sing that song and not start to feel joyous within themselves. While conducting the very act of worshiping the Lord, we are being filled with joy and are giving joy back to the Lord because we're praising Him, we're honoring Him, we're glorifying Him, we're loving Him with joy. And did you know that you can give God joy? God is pleased with you when you rejoice in the Lord. God is pleased with you when you are reconciled with Him and with others. Because the cure for all conflict is rejoicing in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." He is pleased when we rejoice in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your word. And many times we come to Your word and we're filled with conflict. We're filled with strife. We're filled with problems and crises. So Lord, help us to just refocus on You, God, and to rejoice in the Lord, knowing that You have a plan, You have a purpose for us, and we can have trust and faith in that plan. So Lord, bless us, and as we continue to go out into this world of conflict, Lord, may we honor You and praise You all of our days. May rejoicing always be on our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here tonight and you need prayer, maybe there's some conflicts going on in your life and you need some prayer to talk about those things and have some pastors and elders lift them up with you. We would love to pray with you. And if you're online watching this evening and you have some things that you would like to share about and to receive some prayer, we would love to pray with you online. And so just put down a chat there on Facebook or however way you are watching us, and we would love to pray with you and support you in whatever you're going through. May God richly bless you guys this evening. In Jesus' name.